Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Signature Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol SGU and on the OTCQB under the symbol SGGTF. Chad and I are chatting with the President and CEO, Robert Vallis. Now, Robert, we are going to focus a lot on the upcoming 10,000-meter drill program at the company's flagship project, the Lingman Lake Gold Project in Ontario. But it has been a couple months, actually, since I had you last on the show. I know that summer was a almost impossible time, or it was an impossible time to drill up in northern Ontario because of all those forest fires. But please bring everybody up to speed on this Lingman Lake Gold Project and the past drill program that happened here.
Absolutely, Corey. Thank you for having me again. Indeed, it's been a challenging summer with Mother Nature, but we've fought our way through and are now moving to the next drill campaign, which we're excited about starting literally this weekend. But again, for those that don't know, you know, we are a Canadian gold exploration company over nearly 300 square kilometers of a massive land package in northwestern Ontario. We hold nearly 90% of an entire greenstone belt, the Lingman Lake greenstone belt. We have, at our core site, a historical discovery, 234,000 ounce historical resource. It had a shaft, three sublevels in, bulk sampling, you name it. It was getting ready to move into production back in the 40s and 50s, but they financially weren't able to do it. So it went into stasis for nearly 40 years. And here we are today, post our consolidation of the fragmented land claims. From that, we restarted things with my joining in mid-November last year, along with our chairman, Paulo Lestrito. And from there, we've gone through and raised over $5.5 million since then. We completed a 3,200-meter winter spring drill program, which went a long way to help exploring the western extents of our existing discovery that I previously spoke of. And has also led into a number of other activities that we have been working to complete through this summer and are just finishing now due to the wildfire delays, inclusive of property-wide LIDAR from airborne efforts. So airborne geophysics, if you will, on that entire 300 square kilometer or nearly 300 square kilometer package. We've also, if you zoom down into our site, we've conducted detailed 3D IP and magnetic surveys that have penetrated down to 500 meters, taken in the entire 3 kilometer strike length. So a massive data package that we've now collected and is being processed as we speak that will be aiding us in vectoring in our drilling and, to more efficiently and expeditiously expand the resource that we currently have. And of course, expand the strike extents as well. So definitely looking forward to that. So that's essentially a 10,000 meter campaign starting roughly this weekend and for sure drills turning by Monday. And from that, we'll be drilling 24/7 straight through this fall to the end of the year, to execute on that and continue to deliver results that we're definitely excited about and looking forward to. So that's essentially where we are. And that's going to tee us up quite well for moving then into the new year with continued drilling and just continued rapid expansion of that. But also in parallel with our 10,000 meter drill campaign, we are advancing our regional exploration effort quite expeditiously as well. So a number of things there we can talk about.
Well, just kicking things off, Robert, I was going to dig in a little bit more to some of those geophysics surveys you did and the 3D IP surveys. What did you learn from those exercises? I know the market doesn't get as excited about that, but they're very important for vectoring in on the drill targets. And what kind of targets stuck out after doing some of those studies?
Well, that's an excellent question, Chad. To be clear, what I just said earlier is that we've completed it and the data is being processed. We've had some preliminary looks, but that data is not finished being processing. It's still another week to 10 days out. But with that, the knowledge that we have gained, and it will be providing us down to 500 meters depth below the existing workings and existing gold mineralization, is that it does continue. There's very strong results coming out of that. It's also why we're just finished conducting a what you call a walking or surface magnetic survey. In addition to that, it's just another layer of complementary data. So when you combine the 3DIP with the magnetic survey and then with the drilling that we do have, it's really pointing to mineralization is just all the way down to 500 meters, not stopping. We don't know where the density in terms of gold is in that. Is it, we believe there's a plunge or a series of plunges where, you know, there's if corridors, if you will, in those mineralized zones, our north, central, and south zones. So, once we start drilling, we're going to start getting that immediate information on that, which is that final piece of resolution to help define exactly where best to vector in and drill, as you pointed out.
So, Robert, the drill is starting to turn here pretty soon. And you guys sound like you have developed some new targets. Plus, you're also following up on some of that past drilling, that 3,200-meter program. This program's a lot bigger than that program. What are some of the targets that you're most excited about?
Let's start with the obvious. I'm definitely most excited about extending the current known historical resource to depth. It, as I've pointed out a number of times up to this point, we are only down to 180 meters from surface. But the fact that we've got nearly 250,000 ounces, essentially at surface and only down to 180 meters, and again, with the what I had just stated about the geophysics coming in, indicating that this is presenting strong geophysical results, continuing beneath that down to the extent we went, 500 meters, I'm most excited about getting going there and just starting to add ounces and, find out what's happening. We know that there is some deeper holes drilled in that region down to 250 meters that were returning over 300 grams per ton. So we know the grade continues. We just don't know how pervasive it is right now. So definitely excited about that. The western side as well, the 3,200 meters drilling we did, gave us a lot of information. Number one, we were able to continue to expand the west zone that's there, but also determine that there's some localized faulting and shifting going on, and that that the drilling told us is there. And so from that and with this geophysical data, it's also indicating that there's more complex structure on that side that means we have to vector differently for our drilling and continue to expand those mineralized zones on the west. So that's the second. The third is what's happening regionally. Having just finished the airborne geophysics, that data being processed as well for the entire property, we are very excited about what that's going to tell us. We already have, as one can see in our current presentation, from the 2018 airborne geophysics, up to 7 high potential targets that we focused on. We're expecting to identify many more throughout our property. And what we don't know, and the geologists are excited about, is that, we don't know if Lingman Lake or any of the other targets we currently have in hand are the biggest. This is a significant system that we hold. And to emphasize that and my excitement about this is if you look right off to the west where we've talked about target 1 and 2, we released a press release recently talking about what's Matikwan is really the region where that particular target and data compilation have revealed that there's a significant system there. And so what we're doing there is starting to zero in on more focused geophysics on the ground level to determine how extensive and what sort of system this is. The compilation data so far is indicating that there's high potential, although we need to verify that, or possible porphyry system. And now that's not something that we're entirely focused on. Obviously, drilling out porphyry systems and delineating those is extremely costly and its potential for base metals. But nevertheless, that's just one single target that's reared its head out of the compilation work so far. So with the ongoing data collection and further compilation, we're definitely excited about moving rapidly towards further and additional discoveries regionally.
Well, those will be pretty exciting to keep following along with. And even if you found a big porphyry system, you could always JV something like that out to another company and keep on plowing through some of the other projects. And just to loop back around to the depth component in the Red Lake area, it's significant to point out that really Goldcorp, when they were drilling out the Red Lake mine, it was really at depth that things really lit up for them. Recently, there's the 8 zone that Pure Gold's found at depth. And we know Great Bear is continuing to drill deeper and continuing to find mineralization at depth in the area. So maybe speak to the audience that's not familiar with Red Lake about just how big these systems can grow at depth.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, we have material in our presentation. I've talked about it, but to reemphasize it, we're talking about mesothermal deposits. And unlike other types of deposits like epithermal and other ones that tend to sit closer to the surface, mesothermal deposits, which is what is pervasive throughout the Abitibi region, inclusive of the Red Lake, mining district, and even down in the Timmins and Kirkland Lake, the Hemlow area, in Ontario, you're talking about deposits that can run kilometers depth, kilometers. And that's surprising to a lot of people. We actually put in our corporate video an image there that shows, 2 kilometers depth is essentially 4 CN towers stacked on, one on the other. So it gives you that sort of understanding of depth and depth potential. Along with that, if you have the continuity, then you have the ounces to go with it in terms of growth potential. Thicknesses, they can be quite thick or reasonably narrow, but you usually have more than one lens or mineralized zone. We indeed have both. We have very wide zones up to 20 meters in thickness, and we also have multiple of those zones, in parallel or pancaked, if you will. So knowing that we're only at 180 meters, knowing that we're getting indications to depth, not only from the geophysics, but also from some historical drilling. And as you point out, from benchmarking to deposits all around us that are already delineated down to 1, 1.5, 2 kilometers, it just speaks to significant potential for us to just keep going, keep growing this thing. And the exciting part is that we're in a greenstone belt environment where we expect to find more than one of these deposits. And the fact also that the geologic environment is reasonably pristine, meaning it's not overly faulted or metamorphosed and folded and faulted upon itself, which you see a lot of in the Red Lake area and down into Timmins and Kirkland Lake districts. We have geology that's less of that, which means it's more predictable, easier to work with, and easier to explore and discover as well. So a lot of exciting characteristics there, if you will, that speak to depth and mesothermal deposits.
All right. So drill program starting up really on Monday, you said, with that drill turning. It's a key turning point for the company as well. When it comes to cash in the bank, there was also a news release more at the middle of July that announced just short of a $4 million raise. What's the budget for this 10,000 meters? And does that $4 million take you through that?
Short answer is yes. The budget is coming under that, probably 3 to 3.5. We've been working hard, ramping up to start drilling and during the wildfires and so forth to really retool our exploration camp to be smarter and more efficient so that we're not only safer than what we do, but more efficient. And really what that means is that we're taking our actual operating costs down to as low as possible and challenging, a lot of the low cost operators that are out there in terms of how to do that and make it work and stretch the dollars we have. So that more dollars go to the drill bit than less.
One other point to bring up within that financing is that the couple groups, well-known groups, actually took part. There were some funds that managed by Sprott Asset Management, as well as Crescat Capital, that took part in that financing. Bring us up to speed on these two strategic shareholders within the company, please.
Well, number one, we're extremely pleased and happy to have them on board, Crescat. Their return, you know, they came on board with us back in March, I believe it was, with nearly a $1.5 million investment and followed up again in July. But also to have the a new shareholder on board as well is something that, you know, indicates to us that our message is getting through, that, you know, there is significant value potential here for shareholders, that we're hyper-focused on delivering and looking forward to you know, delivering that value to them and the rest of our shareholders as well.
Sorry, guys. I had just closed that out. One sec. All right, Robert, we're going to wrap it up here. We really appreciate the update. And really, again, a lot of drilling coming for the company starting up this weekend. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Robert, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com, and we will get those addressed for you. Robert, we appreciate the update. We'll follow up on the back of some more news. Thank you.
Thank you, Corey and Shad.